It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. For those of you wondering why the intro music is different, because there are now restrictions when you use YouTube, as we do now for all the shows. And when you use YouTube, there's some limit to what you can do with music that's copyrighted or whatever, so we cannot use the Huey Lewis unless I would think we pay some money. And we're not paying money. They didn't ask me how much it was and whether or not I would pay. But if it costs, I'll pay whatever it costs within reason. Like for Huey Lewis, for the intro for a year.
How many zeros do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, I'd pay a grand.
It's going to be a lot more than that.
I'm only using it for X number of seconds. It has to be determined by how long.
Why did this start the show today? Did somebody ask you?
Yeah, I've had more people ask about that than anything. They're like on people that I know on Twitter. What happened to Huey Lewis? And it's of interest to me because that means they clearly listen to the show. But yeah,
but as a wise man, Homer said, I believe it was last week, if you listen to my show for the music, you must think I suck.
No, they like the music, and the fact that they notice the difference tells me they listen to the show, and that's the most important thing. So yeah, find out how much it costs for, let's say, 30 seconds a day, or there has to a way to ask somebody. Yeah. I would put up $3,000 a year. What can I get for $3,000 a year? How many seconds at the beginning of the Huey Lewis? This is the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. I'm sorry I took his time. We will have the show at 6 o'clock with the schedule. But I want the Packers to sign Jaire Alexander. He did a story in, what is it, like the Players Tribune or something like. And he says he's healthy. He's had some mental issues. And I think he's worth a veteran minimum contract and say, hey, give it a shot. I don't know that he would accept it. He has said his knee has healed and he is in a much better place mentally. But this all started the mental struggling with an emotional divorce-like end to his time in Green Bay. All right. Spouses changed their mind. We had a divorce, but it's hard for me to believe that if he puts a uniform on, if his knee is healthy, that he isn't better than what they're going to put out on the field at some point this season. I will defer now to Brian Belaga because I have no idea at all about the emotional and the different parts, mental, of playing in the NFL. So take it away. You thought I said little when you and Jason are on. I'll say even less on this topic.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is obviously, he was very vulnerable in this piece. I haven't read through the entire thing yet. I've only read through a little bit of it. And each guy goes through something different, right? No one guy's the same, and kind of how they handle pressures, handle certain things, handle adversity, and this and that. No one guy's the same, right? And I think that's the takeaway from, you know, getting into this article that, or this pretty much this interview that he did. And clearly, he loved Green Bay. I mean, he loved everything about it. regardless of how it ended, you know, him going onto the field as a captain when they were in Carolina or whatever that was, like, clearly he was going through some things, right? Like, and you don't know what that is unless he tells you what those things are. But regardless of all that, his love for the city of Green Bay and the Green Bay Packers, he states that explicitly, which, funny enough, I think a lot of guys that have been in Green Bay for longer than 3-4 years get that feeling. I was the same way, right? Like, when I wasn't offered a new deal by Green Bay after 2019, yeah, it hurt. Like, it felt bad. It sucked. Don't get me wrong. Like, I wanted to stay in Green Bay. I love playing for the Packers. I love the city and my teammates and everything like that. But guys handle that differently, right? It is what it is. Regardless of where you go, right, when you have a passion for the team that you are on and you love everything about it and your teammates and your city, no matter where you go, there's still going to be a piece of that team that you in your heart and all that kind of stuff. Like, you're still going to miss that place. And it was no different for him. It was no different for me. But how guys react and handle to that and then throw the injuries and how his knee was, and we don't know what was going on in his knee. I have no idea. That makes things tough. You're not able to perform. You're not able to play. You kind of miss where you were. You feel like you weren't wanted in a location, and then you get injured and you can't do your job to the fullest ability and get looked at a different way because that new organization doesn't really know you like your former one. And it puts a lot of doubt in your mind, right? And it could mentally have a big toll on you. And clearly for him, it did. And I'm glad he's in a place now that he's better, not just physically, but also mentally. Like, I'm glad that he is, because I was a teammate of his for a long time, and he was always extremely fun to be around. I thought he was a hell of a competitor. I thought he was always good in the locker room, right? Like, I think his rookie year, he obviously was getting a lay of the land and things like that. But by the time he got into his second year, he was a great guy to have in the locker room, and he was an outstanding performer. So,
all right, let me interrupt you just so you can explain. What is a great guy in the locker room? What is that? What does that mean for one player to say that about somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, you aren't, at least for me, as the way I always looked at it, you weren't a distraction in the locker room. You didn't cause controversy in the locker room. You were liked among all position groups. Guys liked them, right? Like, I mean, no, I'm not going to sit here and say that everyone hangs out with everyone outside of the building, but inside the building, very well liked and respected. Okay. So a guy in the locker room that people enjoy having in there and seeing him every, you know, just like seeing him every day, you know, guys are all different in that locker room. Everyone's a different person, different behaviors and mentalities and personalities, and he was one that people enjoyed. So, like, to me, he was great to have in the locker room. And then obviously, take that aside, his performances on the field were very good. So you put those two things together, and people love having you around. But the moral of the story, right, is this is like, I'm glad he's doing well on both of those fronts, from a physical and mental standpoint, and whether he wants to play again or not, like, I have no idea, right? Like you said, offer him a vet minimum, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Well, we know this. If he would want to consider playing anywhere, we know where it is. I mean, he's always said that, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's pretty clear. That.
So I'm Goody. I call up his person and say, Jair, we need a physical. We need to know what condition you're in. Your condition is fine. We'll sign you to a minimum veteran with no guarantee of anything, but we'd like to give you a chance.
Yeah, I think.
Where am I wrong with that?
No, listen. If if you're Goody and you believe that your DB room needs veteran presence and it needs potential boosting and upgrades, and he's able to still play and he feels good and physically he's good, right?
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Yeah, then yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to find someone on the market right now that would be able to come in and adapt into the locker room as well as he could. But again, like, when guys take that much time off and take time away, you just never know how they're going to come back. And that's always the biggest question, right? Like, are you able to take that much time off and come back and still perform? And that would, I mean, that's, if he were to come back, that'd be my question as well. Like, are you able to play at a high level or higher level than what is already there is the better question. Obviously, health is always going to be the concern, right? He was pretty banged up the last few years of his contract in Green Bay. And then obviously we all know what happened when he went to Baltimore and the whole thing and Philly and all that. So that would be the big question. How long can the health stay? Right, like you say, your knee feels good now, and this and that. But how long can you count on that? I don't know. Right, like that's not something I'm privy to. I don't know what was wrong with his knee to begin with. So, I'll put it this way: if he were to get brought back, no problem here.
All right,
no problem here.
Aside from that, the health, and the reason I wanted to listen is that there's no way to understand the mental health or just the adjustment or when you would be able to say he just doesn't want to play anymore. Because I'm guessing you'll have to have some level of being fearless and like you risk your body being hurt. You have to have a certain level of what's the word? I don't know if it's toughness. You have to be willing to take a risk or I don't well, what's the word when you can say he just doesn't want to do what you have to do to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
have you ever seen that from somebody and go
you know,
or they said it?
I think you see veteran guys as they get towards the end of their career, it's like, am I willing to put my body through this? Like, that's and if you see guys retire around camp or something like that, veteran guys, like, yeah, I'm not willing to put my body through this again. Like, this isn't worth it. I get the money, it's a lot of money and things like that, but like, what he talked about with his mental health, getting injured and things like that play a big role on guys' mental health and not being available, not being able to be out there for teammates that you feel like you're letting down. Like that right. That's a heavy burden to carry when the organization counts on you, your teammates, and then the fan base count on you and you're injured or you're not able to perform at a certain level. That weighs on you, right? And it's a constant like burden on you and it's like a cloud over you. So like, yeah, you'd have to be pretty clear mentally that you think your body can go through it again. Like you have to feel very strongly that your body can take that on again. And, you know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
He said his knee feels good and his health is good. That's great. But like, is it good from living a normal civilian life or is it good to go through car crashes every week? That's essentially.
But he knows what that is. You're not asking him to do something. He doesn't know what it is.
Correct.
You would know, as you just alluded to, about how he is as a teammate, whether you can trust what he said. You have enough background on him in Green Bay, both when he was held, not to know if you can trust that.
Yeah, no, I mean, if he would say that he's healthy and he feels great and things like that, I would trust it, right? I mean,
I don't know. You'd know.
No,
sure
I would.
With some players you could, some you couldn't. I don't. That's
no, with
why I'm
him,
asking
I,
this.
Yeah, with him, I would.
Yeah.
I think what what he went through the last few years in Green Bay, and then obviously when he went to Baltimore, like, you could tell, obviously, there was some mental pain there, right? Like, we get that. But there clearly was some physical ailment in that knee that just was not okay. So
now I do know this because Terrell Buckley was his coach when he was at Louisville, I think. Is that right? Anyway, so I would love to get Jair on. Hey, if they offered you a veteran minimum, would you give it a shot?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know the answer to that.
No, I have no idea what the answer
I'm guessing
would be.
Terrell Buckley might. So, all right, I will. I'll call him, given that I am a financial supporter of the Mississippi Valley State football team.
Well, then, yeah, you should be able to get any answer.
Well, I don't know if that qualifies. I said, how much does it cost for a backup punter? So I donated $1,000. Do you think that gets you a backup punter or snapper at Mississippi Valley State?
It could help to the pot. Yeah, I mean, you're probably helping the fund, yes, for sure.
No, $1,000's $1,000, but I think that's about as close to the bottom of the barrel as you can get, which is fine. But anyway, no, I don't mean to make light of it. I just think I'd be willing to give it a shot. But I ask you because it surprises me to hear from you on, I don't know the exact words you used, where you said it hurt or just the feeling that you have when to me it was just that you were hurt. I can't believe there was ever a point or I don't know. Green Bay just said they wanted to spend the money elsewhere. I don't know. Were you 100% healthy when they said we want to move on?
Yeah. No, I got out of that. I got out of the 2019 season with a good bill of health, no surgeries, no anything like that. No, I mean, and really, I think what kind of.
You're so nice. I would go, you jerks, you're going to regret this. This is stupid. I can play. You know I can play. But if that's the way you want to be, I understand how it works. I've been fired.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the way it just, I think why it hurt. And like, listen, man, business is business. And I get it.
Yeah, I'm curious why it hurt.
I think because like before the free agent period, you know, when it opens up or the negotiation period opens up, that pre-free agency, I mean, it had already come out that they had agreed to terms with, I think it was Ricky Wagner, and they had already signed and agreed to terms with him. And my agent and I hadn't even heard anything. So, like, I think that was the part I was like, wow, okay, well, they're moving on. That's good. Got it. 10-4. So I think besides that, and then, you know, you have some time to get over that and kind of process that and move on from that. But the initial shock of it, I mean, that's what probably hurt the most, right? Like, was that. But like I said, business is business, and you know, they technically don't owe me anything. They don't owe a call saying, hey, we're moving in a different direction. I mean, they decided not to do that, and that's fine. But people want the honest truth. Like, how'd you feel about it? Well, that's how I felt about it. It felt like, it was kind of like, wow, all right, well, there's that.
You were surprised. Would that word fit?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I mean, regardless of, I mean, when we hadn't had any conversations with them up to a certain point in the offseason, like, I was kind of starting to get that feeling that it may not happen. But then when that tampering period opened and that got announced essentially almost immediately, I was like, all right, well, that's good to know. I'm a little surprised. Like, I mean, would have expected to maybe hear something, but I didn't. And it is what it is now, right? Like I said, I gave myself some time to think about that and get over that. But after that, it is what it is, man. Like, they made their move, and that's okay. Like, and yeah, right away it hurt. But when you have some time to process it, and clearly I had a lot of time. It was COVID right after that. So I had a lot of time at the house to process. We'll just put it that way.
Wow, I can only process. It didn't take very long. They fired my butt to process it. You're wrong, and it never changed. But you're the boss, so do what you want now. You know, well, have a chance to prove if somebody else wants me, or I go from there. But there was no process. Like, over time, I understood it. Nope. It's no different now than in 1986, I think it was, or 5. You have to look up in the Wisconsin State Journal. It was front page. I hope he fails. He treats people like dirt. The official quote that made the front page from Steve True, who was not the homer yet. How'd you like that? Couldn't find anything and go, well, I guess it wasn't that big a deal. Fired 5, flip over the front page in bold letters. I hope he fails. He treats people like dirt. So clearly I handled it well. I don't know that you ever. I can't see you saying anything like that.
No, I didn't say I didn't go there. I didn't go there with it. I'll say that.
But if I were you, I'd always feel they were wrong. I would always feel they'd have been a better football team with me on it than they were. And I think you'd be correct.
Yeah, well, obviously, of course, I feel. I mean, that was the year that they lost to Tampa at home in the NFC Championship. And, of course, I believe if I was playing on that offensive line.
Right, but I mean, everybody, you would have been right. If you asked somebody else, not you personally, they would have said you were right, I believe. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Potentially. Yeah, I mean, like, everyone's got an opinion, but that's mine.
Yeah,
right. Like that's mine, and that's okay. I just like, again, the NFL is a funny business because, like, you could be a prized possession, and then you're done and gone and out of there, and the NFL moves on, fans move on, and that's okay. But like Jair is talking about in his piece that he wrote, like, players, because they give so much to an organization and to a franchise, and they go out there and they battle and they fight, and there's wins and there's losses and there's things. Like, yeah, I think it hurts guys way more than it does teams, right? Like, I think.
And yet you all understand that it's a business.
Yes,
but this is the fascination I have, that it's a business. But it sucks you in. I'm assuming it sucks you in, not because of the team, but because of your teammates.
Yes.
You want to win. You want to win for them, and they want to win for you, and it creates this
correct
weird situation.
Yeah, and like for me, like I had LaFleur's first year. I loved being around Matt. I loved being around Steno and Butkus, and then obviously the guys that I play with: Bakhtiari, Lindsley, Billy Turner, Elm. Like, I love those guys. So like. Yeah, that and we had put together something really nice in that first year. And I was like, man, like I really and we made it to an NFC championship, and I'm like, I'd love to get over the line with this coach and this group and do this again. Like I would love to run this thing back and try this again because of how much fun I had and how much I enjoyed that year. Obviously then and playing for Aaron and kind of keeping that going and how much I enjoyed blocking for him and being part of that and all the history that he created, I got to tag along with it. So, yeah, like all those things, you put all those things together, and that's what I think for players, I think hurts probably the most is leaving that dynamic. And obviously, for me, I love the city of Green Bay. I love the small town. I loved the atmosphere of it, everything about it. My wife loved it. My kids loved it. My family did. So, like, yeah, all those things, it becomes a little more personal than just, like, about dollars and cents at that point. We understand it's a business, but at the same time, what impacts players is deeper than just the dollar signs on it.
Which is weird. And that, to me, I don't know how to say that, but it's kind of weird because you all know it's a business, and you all know you're just playing for a team. You're just a piece of meat. Yet, that's why you must love football, because it creates a camaraderie that even despite the fact that you're pieces of meat, you enjoy being pieces of meat because of the other pieces of meat around you.
Correct, man. It's like, what did I say? Like misery loves company.
Like, I don't know. I'm asking you. It's and you risk your bodies. You spend the rest of your life recovering to some degree from all the injuries.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
And he's a guy with mental issues because he misses. This just builds. We'll get back to it. We'll take a break here. But this just builds to what you've said about there is something special about playing for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. I've said this so many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's saying it. And it created a certain level of mental illness. It hurt so much to leave the Packers. Second quarter with Brian Bulaga again at 6 o'clock, the special schedule show. Jason Woolley on assignment tonight. Yeah. Well, it's kind of sad because I don't get that extended time I get to listen. Show won't be as good, but we'll give it our best shot. Back up Homer with Brian Bulaga next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, Jason Woolley on assignment, so I don't get my 20 minutes of listening. I hope Brian isn't too sad. Subscribe on YouTube whenever or wherever you're listening. Just know we're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, and comment along with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Subscribe today. You can also put your questions down in the chat, or you could call 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text line. YouTube has gotten so big that it's all on YouTube Live. You go to ESPN Milwaukee, then the Homer Hour, and they have limitations as to the music that you can use. That's why when people ask me, we don't have Huey Lewis at the beginning. I've said I would be willing to pay $3,000 a year for however many seconds that gets me. I got to believe that you don't have to pay as much for 20 seconds or 30 seconds as you would for the whole song, but we will look into that.
Strofe. Get on it, Strofe.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Huey Lewis.
He'll always get to. No, there's. I'm sure whatever the. They used to deal with this all the time. You had to pay ACAP or whatever the musical things were.
For radio.
But, I mean, they would clearly have something that they want you to pay. And what am I apt to pay? Yeah, if you know Huey personally, feel free to call him. Or anybody. Hey, somebody wants to use for millions listen in across the country to Homer. Whatever. All right, 1-800-990-3776 if you have a question for Brian Bulaga. And because so many people use YouTube, they also arrive on the chat. No disrespect to Blue. See, they don't even care. I'd never call you Blue. Yeah. Tausch calls you Blue, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. And if I was a player, what other players call me would probably be the best thing because that would be cool. No disrespect at all, but if he, wife, and family love Green Bay so much, why didn't they settle there after playing? Now, some would say, Homer, how can you ask that question to Brian? Easy, because Brian has an answer for every question. And I don't know him, but I know him like he made good decisions or objective decisions on everywhere he's lived. When he's in Green Bay, he has no choice. He's playing in Green Bay. My family's going to live in Rhode Island? I don't think so. After he's done playing, take it away, Brian. You can't ask a question that I won't pass along to Brian Bulaga. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a fair question, but grew up in Illinois, went to Iowa, then to Green Bay. Obviously, there's lots of seasons involved from weather standpoint, and my wife and I we wanted to get into the warmth in our off time, especially once the season was over. So we would leave Green Bay to get a little escape from the cold. And as we did that, we just kind of fell in love with being in Florida. And that's really all it was. And I'll put it this way too. Homer knows this. I mean, I don't play as much as I should. I love golf. So like I can play golf year round down here. I could do that all the time. And that's something that I really enjoy. And now that my son's into soccer and flag football, they do that year round. So, like, it's kind of just, it's one of those things. And also, too, the way my body feels in the heat compared to the cold is a little different.
You have not brought it up. Are you? Do you have all? Have you given all your reasons? Because I have one more.
Sure. Go one more.
There's no state tax in Florida, correct?
That is correct. And that is correct.
I would think that would be, I'm not saying a huge plus, that'd be a plus for anybody.
Yes, it's definitely a plus.
Yeah, okay.
It's definitely a plus.
All right, we got more questions coming. Hard to believe this, Brian, but I was a little behind in the first break, so we need to take a quicker one here. But the longer third quarter with Brian Bulaga and your questions, 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line lists more. Or you just go to YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, the Homer Hour, and get going on the chat. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, given what Jair Alexander wrote in Players Tribune, should the Packers offer him a veteran minimum contract for 2026? 69% say yes. I say yes. Dr. Football, you said yes, right? Assuming he passes a physical. He's got to be healthy.
Correct.
And
correct.
Then Gabe Neitzel's here for the schedule show, and he said, yeah, I thought maybe Philadelphia had the – do I have it? Has the rights probably, but come on. They're not going to.
I mean, they would probably just let him go, yeah.
Right. Or I said a conditional seventh based on a certain percentage of play,
mm-hmm.
which I think the Packers
there's no way. There's no way that they could even demand that.
Really?
Okay. I don't know what you would – yes, I don't know what – but also, I mean, by the end of the article, it seems like he's at peace with his decision to be done with
he
football.
He is, but when he says how emotionally tough it was – regarding the Packers, that's the foundation.
Yeah, but hey, it also seems like his knee's just not going to be healthy enough.
Yeah, well, that would solve it. But I think, giving the caring reputation I have, that when someone mentions what he says and you have an understanding and recognition of mental health and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I call him the next day. Let's go. If you can physically do it, and this meant that much to you.
Yeah, it also seems like they kind of strung him along. Seemed like the Packers were done with him.
Could be. Yeah. But they didn't have this story. Could they have known that it meant that much to him?
Probably
when
not.
When he left. But yeah, the chance of him ever playing for the Packers again is...
Well, and the chance of the Packers caring that it meant that much.
Right.
It's little to none.
Yes. Right. But I think it would be a good thing to do. Would you join my club on that one, Gabe, or not? It's not really.
Look, if Jair was healthy enough to play, I would explore it. I just don't think he's healthy enough.
If Brian Bulaga said he was healthy enough to play, I'd explore that too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you healthy?
Yeah, they need help on the offensive line, Blue. So if you're healthy enough, bud, if you're feeling it, we'll put in a good word for you up here.
Oh, man. I don't think my body could gain that weight back. I don't know if I'm capable.
But you seem like you're done.
Oh yeah, I was done years ago, and happy with the decision.
If this weird thing occurred and that you were 100% healthy, you would still be emotionally or mentally done, or maybe not.
Mentally, I would be done.
It's just too hard, or
it's a lot to get your mind ready for mentally to go back into it.
Right.
Like when you're young and you're in it and you've been doing it from college and year after year after year, it's great. You get to a certain age, it starts to wear on you mentally, at least from the position that I was in as an offensive lineman. Like it's a lot of mental anguish week to week, right? Like, I mean, it's just,
I'm listening, whatever you say.
There's a lot of expectation on especially for the Green Bay Packers with the quarterbacks, right? It's Favre, then it was Aaron, now it's Jordan Love. Like your job responsibility is to keep the franchise safe. And if the franchise is safe, that means you'll win games. So like there's a lot of pressure there to play at a high level, because a lot of the times if things don't go well, the first finger is the guys in front of him were crap today, so like he couldn't do anything. So it's like, well, and if you step away and say you do get healthy, right, in your body and you feel great, it's still putting yourself back into that situation mentally, which, hey, pressure, in my opinion, is a privilege. I think it's fantastic that there's pressure and there's expectations from a group and a certain player and things like that. Like, that's a privilege to have that. I was so fortunate to be on a team that there was pressure every single season to be a certain standard and win so many games and win division titles and get to NFC. Like, yeah, you got to appreciate that. But after some time, that wears on you. To try to be not be perfect, but damn near close to perfect.
It's of note to me to hear this because everybody watching and listening knows how good you were. And to hear you say this, I guess, tells us really how hard it is.
Yeah. I mean, you go through it just week to week, knowing and understanding, especially based on matchups and who you're facing that week, what defensive end you're going against. There's a lot of.
So I mean, that's what you tell the next Brian Bulaga, who's in almost the same, other than having $13 million taken away from you on draft night. But somebody similar to you, is that the first thing you would tell them before they start in the NFL? Just how hard it is or what?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, yes, it's physically demanding and all, like, those things are obvious. If you're not ready for that, then don't even step in the door. Like, you're not ready to go through those doors if you don't know it's going to be physically demanding. But I think people lose, especially young guys, they don't understand the pressures that surround it, right? Like, the expectation, the weight it carries, not just with the fan base, but with your teammates as well. They expect you to play at a certain level. You need to carry your weight at all times. Like, you always need to be playing at a certain level for this thing to work. And some guys can do it. Some guys can do it well and deal with it. I was able to deal with it for a long time, right? Like, and I was still able to deal with it even when I left Green Bay. It was my body just wasn't there, right?
All right, we have now in the chat, in reference to you growing up with your dad hating the Bears, I grew up the same exact way, except we hated the Packers. Oh. I don't get that. I don't understand, like, rooting for someone to lose. To me, like, when I don't care what the Bears do. I don't care what the Vikings do if the Packers are really good. I mean,
we weren't Packers fans. So, like,
right. Picked up a team to like. You didn't just hate the Bears.
Correct. Yeah, I like the 49ers, and they never played each other. It never happened. Once every 4 years, essentially.
Did your dad ever have to find another team to like, or did he just hate the Bears?
He just hated the Bears until I got drafted.
Dinko would be proud. Have they ever met?
No, until I got drafted, he didn't like any other team.
Wow.
So it's the way it went.
I'm seeing you as a little different than your dad. I don't see you as a leading with hating the team, but maybe that's probably for another day. The schedule show is next. The Brian Bulaga Hour. Unfortunately, Jason Woolley was on assignment, but next Thursday, the two will go at it for a good 20 minutes. Schedule show next.